Well, when was the last time you visited your local farmers market? I think shopping at them gives us a great opportunity to support local farmers and to see what flavors the seasons bring. And we certainly had a great conversation with Dr. Robin Chutkin, and she mentioned more than once eating local, attending farmers markets as a way to help heal your body from the inside out. Well, we're going to be talking about some tips for shopping at the farmers markets, talk about women in agriculture with our guest, Lisa Kivirist. Back once again, Lisa is co-owner of In Serendipity, a farm B&B, and she is the author of Soil Sisters, a toolkit for Wisconsin farmers. She also leads the Women Farmer Training Program for the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service. We call it MOSES. And welcome, Lisa. Great to have you.
Hey, thank you very much.
Great to have you with us today. We also have Anna Thomas Bates, the co-founder of the Landmark Creamery, who also writes for Edible Madison, has a weekly column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Anna, thank you for coming as well. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
First, I need to turn on your microphone. That'll work better.
All right, thank you.
we got it on now. Are you a foodie? What do you like to buy at the farmer's market? I hope you'll join in the conversation today by calling us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And, well, let's start out. Maybe, you know, Lisa, we've interviewed you in the past, but tell us your story. How'd you get interested in local foods and farming?
Sure. Well, we are in the middle of our 20th season now growing food here in Wisconsin, having been, former Chicagoans who did what a lot of Chicagoans do. They crossed the Wisconsin border for weekends for, you know, those tourism ads and camping hiking trips. And early on, my husband John and I realized, hey, this is home. This is where we need to be. We did not have an ag background or grandma's farm we went to on summer vacations, but we were drawn to the rural countryside and wanted to give a go to growing our own food and the farming lifestyle. So the short story there is if we can do it, anybody can. And it really drives my passion today in the education and outreach, because there's no better time to both be a farmer in Wisconsin and support farmers here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been doing it well for a long time now, 20 years. Anna, what about you? What's your story?
So we moved to Madison 16 years ago, and I was doing project management and traveling a lot. But as our family started to grow, my husband and I, we decided to downsize, move to the country. So we live 30 miles south of here on 7 acres, more of a little homestead farm. We've got a laying flock of chickens, beehive, and that's where I met my current business partner, Anna Landmark. And together we launched Landmark Creamery 3 years ago, specializing in sheep milk cheeses.
Oh, now where do you usually sell your cheeses?
So we are available at the Westside Community Market on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. We're also pretty much at any store in Madison that has a good cheese counter. So for Imagination, Willie Street Co-op, Metcalf Hilldale, Whole Foods. We also distribute nationally with very small cheese shops. So you can find us in cheese shops in San Francisco, New York City,
cool.
Chicago, and Los Angeles.
So a good thriving business you've got going then.
It is. We just came home from the American Cheese Society conference and competition, and we came home with 3 ribbons, so we're very pleased.
Oh, and Lisa, you've been successfully operating for 20 years, and talk about your In Serendipity.
Sure. So In Serendipity, we're outside Monroe, and we're a diversified farm, do a lot of different vegetables, harvesting a lot of garlic this past week. We also run our farm completely on renewable energy, on the wind and sun, and are real keen on getting more of that happening as well, and do a lot of writing on both food issues like Anna and also dialing into the stories of women in sustainable ag and food businesses, because they're so inspiring. When you hear the stories of the Annas behind Landmark Creamery, it really is poignant that, again, things are accessible today with a hunger, both literal and figurative, to be self-employed in the world of food. You can do it.
Well, let's talk about farmers markets for a bit. And as I said, our previous guest talked about a good place to go is a farmers market. And well, from your perspective, why is it a good place to go?
Sure. It is the easy access route to directly connecting with your grower. And you can both give your money directly to your grower and ask questions and get the freshest, best value produce, meats, cheese, whatever is locally here in Wisconsin on a regular basis. So we're real fortunate here in Wisconsin. We have over 70 regular farmers markets, which puts us in the top 10 in the country. And you add in statistics like Wisconsin is the nation's leader in organic agriculture when it comes to dairy and livestock. We're second in produce. We'll give number one to California. Fine, slightly larger, longer growing season. But really, Wisconsin is the hub for this movement, and a lot of good things going on here.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned organic. What makes a food organic these days?
Well, technically, it would be certified through the process through the USDA to receive organic certification. So that's the numbers that are driving this industry is market, is people are wanting that, asking that, especially when you get to the larger retailers like the Whole Foods and the Metcalfs when they're buying in volume, so that when a consumer goes to the store and they see that something has the word organic and that green and white label, they know what that is. But more importantly, it is transparency of growing practices and knowing your farmers. So whether or not they have the green and white seal on it, it's being able to ask questions and understand growing practices and bottom line, know where your food is coming from is what's really driving this movement. And that's exciting because that's people taking back control of our food system.
Talking today with Lisa Kivirist and Anna Thomas Bates about sustainable and organic agriculture. We're talking about farmers markets with them today as well. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments or maybe experiences to share. Maybe you've purchased at a farmers market. Maybe you have sold at a market. I hope you'll join in with your own experiences, questions, and comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Anna, let's talk about your cheese for just a minute. You've got sheep cheeses. What makes that cheese so good?
Yeah, sheep milk is a very special type of milk. It has more than twice the fat of goat or cow. It has higher protein level. And in general, the fat structure is a little bit different. Some people find it more digestible, but it just tastes beautiful. That's the most important characteristic. It's very nutty, it's very sweet, and it really yields an amazing cheese. And you're starting to see a few more domestic sheep milk producers in the country.
Now, you do sell at one market, do you not?
Yep, the Westside Community Market.
What's it like to sell at a farmer's market?
I love it. I haven't been there for 2 weekends, and I'm missing my customers. It is just really fun to talk to people who are interested and enthusiastic and have lots of really great questions about the food that you produced with your own hands.
Yeah, I think so. Lisa, do you guys ever sell at a farmer's market?
We do occasionally, but with the B&B, we're pretty farm-tied over the weekends. So I'm an enthusiastic supporter myself and customer for things we don't grow ourselves.
But you grow your own and your own food, and when people stay there, they're eating that food.
You bet. You bet. We specialize in what we like to call the 10-foot breakfast from garden to plate.
10-foot?
You bet.
Oh, 10 feet from the garden?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's taking the 100-mile diet to a whole new level.
I'm sorry. It took me a minute for that to sink in. But there's nothing better than that, is there? I can remember somebody telling me, well, he liked to take his, now he was being facetious here, but he said he liked to take his boiling water out to his sweet corn patch and open the ear and then just stick the ear right straight into the into the water. oh my goodness me. Oh gosh. Well, what about going to a farmer's market? What are some of the things that you should be looking for as you visit and shop at a farmer's market?
So we're very lucky in Wisconsin that a lot of the farmers markets have pretty strict producer-only rules, which means that it's, you know, almost 100% likely that the person behind the counter is the person who grew that tomato or made that cheese. If you're in another city, you might want to ask a few more questions. I've been in Boston, and they've been selling bananas, which clearly they didn't grow. So if you're really there to buy local, you're in good hands here in Wisconsin. But really, just take your time, look around, walk the whole market, and talk to people. If you have questions, we're more than happy to answer them, and we love to talk to people about the things we worked so hard to produce.
Yeah, and it's for me, most often I'm at the farmer's market on the square in Madison, and that's huge. And it is a lot of fun just to walk all the way around, maybe even twice. Sometimes I'll get around halfway around, and then I should have really purchased that, and then I turn around and walk all the way back and get that item that I wanted to purchase.
Yeah, the big market is fantastic, but then there's another reason to go to some of the smaller markets, because you might have a little bit more face time with the farmer or the producer.
Exactly.
And a lot of the farmers will have stalls at more than one market, too.
Mike in Milwaukee has a question. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. I have a question. There is a Farmers Markets Atlas that lists all the various farmers markets, Wisconsin and Milwaukee and all that, and it gives you the locations, and it gives you the times, and which days, you know, some are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, that kind of thing. And I'm having a tough time because I can't find where to get these. Now, according to this, to online, they don't have a return address or anything, but they said that they give them to libraries and special places. I'm wondering if you know where I could get one.
The market atlas guides you're referring to are regionally based, so there's a number of them throughout the state with different partner groups that organize and do exactly what you're saying of compiling information to make it easier. They are all online, and I think that's probably an easy way to access the information. But if you looked up your region, which would probably be southeastern, that may be an option as well. But they do printed versions. They are, to your point, often at libraries or public places. But the information itself is all online. And that's a real plus for farmers markets now, too, that they are just much more social media savvy. Most farmers markets have Facebook pages. You can see what's fresh for the day, the week, and plan a little bit accordingly as well.
So if you go to I'd say Milwaukee Farmers Market, if you wrote that into your search that, you're going to find out a whole lot.
I know the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel also compiles a list of farmers markets and a map for that area as well.
Oh, so there you go. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Lisa Kiverest and Anna Thomas Bates, our guests today, we're talking with them about farmers markets, organic and sustainable agriculture. And you can join in as well. We're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, and find out what else is next, and then we'll be right back. Stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking about women in agriculture today with our two guests, Lisa Kiverest, co-owner of In Serendipity Farm and B&B. She's the author of Soil Sisters, a toolkit for women farmers. She also leads the Women Farmer Training Program for MOSES, the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service. And also with us today, Anna Thomas Bates, the co-founder of Landmark Creamery, who also writes for Edible Madison, has a weekly column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So it's great to have them with us, and particularly for me, because I get to sample. Lisa always brings me a muffin pretty much every single time, and it is delicious, believe me, and I've sampled some cheeses from Anna, and they are absolutely wonderful cheeses from Landmark. So I'm pleased to have them along for sure. And you may have a question or comment as we go along. We were talking a little bit about farmers markets, women in farming. I really want to talk with them a little more in depth on women in farming as well. But Nick in Madison's been waiting a while, so let's go to Nick. Thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind, Nick?
Hey, thanks for calling. Big fan of the show. This is a great program. I just had a quick comment for you guys, and I'll get off and listen on the radio. But I'm a distiller by trade. I just moved up here from Chicago. And one of the things that I've noticed, I made the move, we're actually constructing a new distillation facility in Cambridge right now, is I've started sourcing small grain ingredients from farmers markets from around the state, specifically Bloody Butcher corn and Blue Hopi Indian corn, and both of those being organic. And I actually get my yields for alcohol are actually higher after my fermentation when I use the non-modified grains versus like a yellow BT7 corn or something like that. And actually, I have less fusel oils, which are not really usable and are kind of toxic and not good, and are left actually out of the product, of course. So it actually works for me, and fermentation is actually a process of digestion by, you know, yeast. So not only does it benefit humans, but also the yeast seem to be producing healthier output from our use of non-GMO and non-modified foods. Thanks a lot for letting me in. I'll listen to the radio.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Lisa, comment.
It's great to see the growth of small-scale distilleries in Wisconsin. As I am almost embarrassed to say being a true Wisconsin gal, but I'm not the biggest beer drinker. But, you know, a nice farmstead cocktail with a little umbrella in it is more my summer speed. And Anna does a great job of developing different farmstead cocktail recipes. So she's a great one to hang out in this category. Check out her column in the Sentinel. But, yeah, and he also expressed, Nick did, the need for specific types of crops and varietals grown to keep more of these businesses in Wisconsin. And small-scale distilleries are a great option for that, as well as small-scale breweries of needing different hops and things. So, again, there's lots of opportunity there, especially if you know a market before you start a business. That's the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, you can join in, too, with your own questions, comments, or experiences at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Willow from Verona emailed to say she started shopping at the farmer's market last month, but is interested in finding out where she can get local meats. Are there any suggestions? I know the Madison farmer's market offers meats for sure.
I'd say
Anna?
Both downtown and at my market, the Westside Community Market, there's Jen Eyre and Jordan Dahl, and they are offering local meats, and not only local meats, but some heritage breeds and those that are raised out on pasture, which is going to be a different flavor and a whole different nutritional profile than that you'd find in the supermarket.
Okay, so thanks very much for that. Let's talk about women in agriculture now and women in farming. Not huge numbers, are there, Lisa? Or
it's a small but growing slice of the agricultural pie. Women make up one of the fastest growing groups of new farmers, both nationally here in Wisconsin. And those numbers are really being driven by women starting small-scale, diversified, sustainably focused local operations. So the kind of farms that you see at the farmers markets, and I'm proud to say, actually, this week, August 1st through 7th, has been designated by Governor Walker, Wisconsin Women in Sustainable and Organic Ag Week, to recognize this and support it, and also recognize the economic impact that collectively this brings to our state. So yes, women, it's interesting because it's not like women have just discovered raising food. We've been doing it for forever. But
of course,
as a recognized business entity, and to see more small-scale food artisans like Landmark Creamery popping up is really driving it more nationally as well.
I remember my time spent in the Caribbean doing some work down there, and a lot of the farming there was done by women. I think the majority of it was done by women. So it's nice to see that we're having a growing number getting involved. Tell us more about the Soil Sisters. You have an event coming, and how folks can come and meet you and Anna and experience your farms.
You bet. So there's a vibrant group of women-owned farms and food businesses in my Greene County farmhood, Anna included. And for 5 years now, we have been doing an annual weekend in early August called Soil Sisters, a celebration of Wisconsin farms and rural life. It's a project of the Wisconsin Farmers Union with other partners like Moses and Renewing the Countryside. And yes, this weekend, August 5th through 7th, you can come and visit the over 20 women-owned farms we have involved. On Saturday, there'll be various on-farm workshops. You can take a how to make home cheese with the Annas at their place, as well as a fabulous local wine and cheese pairing with the Annas of Landmark, along with Teresa Jorlane at Hawks Mill Winery in Browntown, where I live. So there's all sorts of that. There's culinary events. There's a great dinner on the farm on Saturday night. And then Sunday, we have the tour of farms. So from 11 to 6, we have 8 women-owned farms, our own and in Serendipity, open to the public 11 to 6 for free tours. So pack that cooler and come stock up on fresh produce and meats and eggs and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's our way to really open our barn doors and share what's going on with the public. Very family friendly, and the weather's looking great, so come on down.
And you have an online something on a webpage.
You bet. Yep. Yeah. The main website is soilsisterswi.org, and you'll see sample itineraries. You can register for the workshops or the culinary events and see a lot more info.
And Malik Anderson, our on-air producer, is giving me a thumbs up. We've got that up on our Facebook page as well, so you can go to the Facebook page, click on that, and very quickly get there. Mandy in Ringwood, Illinois has something for us. Mandy, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Thanks. I wanted to ask your women farmers if they have problems breaking through into their local agricultural community. I'm a dairy farmer. My husband and I milk 100 cows every day, twice a day. I mean, I'm out there doing it with them. But these old guys in my neighborhood, the old farmers, when it comes time for us to sell a cow, they won't do business with me. They want to talk to my husband.
You raise a really good point. And it's interesting. The University of Wisconsin did a study a couple years ago, and I probably could have saved them a little money because I think we know what the end result is. They looked at women farmers and where we go to for information and support. And hands down, we go to other women and other farmers. And that networking aspect is really key. So an idea for you that we started probably about 6 years ago, no, closer to 8 years ago now, is locally by me in Greene County in the Monroe area, we started meeting as the Greene County Area Women in Sustainable Ag. Informal potlucks, but hey, women get a lot done over good food and wine. That's how I met Anna Thomas Bates. I was like, wait a minute, you live by me, come on by. And actually at one of our potlucks, Anna Thomas Bates met Anna Landmark, and that's where this business even erupted, was at one of the potlucks. But it's those relationships, and sometimes we need to be the instigators to invite folks over. And then once you start building that community, things happen like our Soil Sisters tour. If you asked me 8 years ago, would we be having a big palooza of a weekend with all sorts of things going on, showcasing women-owned organic and sustainable farms in Greene County? I don't know if I would have said yes too quickly, but here we are. But it's all based on those relationships of knowing each other. So just invite women over for a potluck and see where it grows.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And, you know, I know for sure you've talked about this in the past. I think you have a good relationship with the men farmers in your community, but it does take some time.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. In many cases, a lot of the newer farms are doing things both differently and how they were in the past. I've personally connected really well with some senior farmers in my area because they remember how it was 50, 60 years ago. And in many cases, small-scale organic farms are doing it like that by building their compost, by having diversified operations, having chickens running around and all of that. So there's definitely commonalities to connect on and learn from.
Yep, absolutely. Jeff in Greendale up next. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. Say, a friend of mine and his wife recently purchased a little farmette, 6-7 acre farmette, and they are interested in becoming more self-sustainable. They have sheep, goats, cows, chickens. They want to have churned butter, cottage cheese, jams, honey, etc. And I was wondering if there's a comprehensive site that they could go to so that they can learn all the regulations that might be involved with each of these little ventures on their farm. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Sure. Well, MOSES, the Midwest Organic Sustainable Education Service, mosesorganic.org, happens to be based in Wisconsin, but it's really the hub for organic farming here in the Midwest. And they have a ton of free resources and fact sheets you can download. And mark your calendars for February of next year, because every year MOSES hosts the MOSES Conference, which is the largest gathering of organic farmers in the known galaxy, we like to say, largest in the world. So that's a great resource as well. But to your question on regulation, our Wisconsin DATCAP, our Department of Agriculture, just came out with a new food processing handbook that really dials into the issues of regulations brilliantly. So that one just went live online, and you can check that one out as well, because you mentioned a diverse range of products, and with diversity comes complexity of regulations. So yeah, there it can help you navigate and dial in.
You know, it might be fun for them to visit your event this weekend as well, I would think.
You bet. On Saturday, we're actually doing a workshop at In Serendipity on how to start a food business, particularly here in Wisconsin, under the cottage food law. And that's affectionately sometimes referred to as our pickle bill. But you mentioned jams and jellies. That allows folks to make high-acid canned items. I do pickles and sauerkraut in our home kitchen, i.e. not a expensive a commercial kitchen, for public sale at farmers markets. So that's a great training wheels, if you will, an on-ramp to get into the food business without, oh, you know, going for 2 years for your cheesemaking license or other investments that other food businesses might need.
And I think it's just a chance to talk to other people, too.
You bet.
I mean, just to visit, it would be great. Robert in Duluth, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Robert.
Yes, thank you. I'd like for the lady and yourself, you experts out there, that in organic farming, in other words, what does it mean? Does it, do you use a lot of fertilizer and or manure or what all? A lot of us folks out here, really, me being a displaced rancher from Colorado, we used cow manure. Well, you folks, I don't know what organic farming is, so explain that to me, will you?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure. Well, as we were talking about earlier, there are federal regulations that specify exactly what it is from that perspective. But philosophically, it's exactly what you're talking about, of farming in partnership with the earth and farming in a way that really enhances the soil and leaves the soil better after we grow our crops, after we graze our animals, etc. So it is nothing new in that concept. It is something that we as humans have been doing for a long time naturally, but have steered away from with the onset of more industrial agriculture and larger scale farms. But it is a philosophy of growing that stewards the land and leaves both our landscape and our food system better for future generations.
Thanks very much for that call. Clarence in Watertown, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning. Good morning. Actually, it's afternoon. Let me shut the bobcat off. 68 years old, have been in conventional farming all my life. Grew up in Sun Prairie, moved to Watertown. We've been farming, again, farmers are the original recyclers. All the cow manure was put out on the land. But I don't quite understand the theory, the idea that organic is any healthier or better than conventional crops or seeds or even the GMOs. I mean, with the GMO seeds, the corn, the soybeans we have here, we use a lot less pesticides and herbicides than we used to before GMOs. And organic, I mean, our dairy cows, we're averaging about 85 to 90 pounds per cow per day. I mean, we have a low cell count. We have a low bacteria count. We got some crossbred Jerseys, which is another story. But, yeah, I just don't quite understand. Everybody goes for organic milk, and you go to the store and see the price per gallon. It's unbelievable.
All right. Well, let's get a comment from that. Anna, do you want to chime in?
Well, when I think about conventional versus organic, part of what comes to mind is scale. I think there are some mid-sized conventional farmers that do, I think there's farmers on all levels that are doing a really great job. but sometimes when you get to the large scale, that's where there are some issues. Just the amount of manure on that smaller amount of land can become challenging for the groundwater to handle. And I'm not going to get into the GMO debate. That's very hot. But as far as breeds and types of vegetables, thinking about the consumer at the market, when you go to the supermarket, mm-hmm. you are going to be tasting tomatoes and apples that were really bred for shipping longer distances. And the advantage of going to the market, just to circle it back to our original topic, is that you are going to find types of vegetables that were bred for flavor and were bred for just juiciness or color and things that you couldn't ship a Juan de Flamme orange tomato across the country. It would be a big mess by the time it got to several states over. But coming from your local farm 20 miles away, you are going to get flavors of tomatoes and breeds of apples that you wouldn't be able to get in a supermarket. So I think that's another kind of plug for the smaller farmer who has the ability to bring some of those older types of vegetables and produce to market.
All right, there we go. Thanks, Clarence, for calling. We'll turn to Vicki in Duluth, Minnesota next. Vicki, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. So I inherited 30 acres of land on the Minnesota River Valley about an hour south of Minneapolis, and I didn't want to end the having to go to a nursing home as I'm getting older. So I left, I gave it to my two daughters who are in their 30s. And so I'd like to find something, maybe a book, that would encourage them to see the value of hanging on to it instead of, you know, selling it to that farmer who would really like to own it. Maybe a book, something philosophical, some big picture of keeping farmland.
Sure. Well, I do have to give a personal plug for the Soil Sisters, A Toolkit for Women Farmers book, because that came out this spring. And what motivated me to do that, and we have over 100 women who contributed to it, of their stories and inspiration. You can read about Landmark Creamery in there as well, is that those stories can really influence. And if by seeing particularly what women are doing in the landscape and in agriculture may help turn the tides and also give some practical ideas to your daughters as well of what they might be able to do on a small scale and what sounds like a gorgeous property.
Yeah, and I really like that. I really like your book, by the way. I think the human interest stories that you have in there are just wonderful. Anna, you were going to add something.
Yeah, I was just going to add that Lisa is such a wonderful resource and the other women in our group, and you can really see all of the different things they're doing on their land to make it support their family, whether, you know, they may be growing vegetables for the farmer's market, they may be selling milk to a local cheesemaker like us, they may be selling that milk and then producing their own cheese as well under their own label. Also, you know, you see people doing bed and breakfasts and farm stays and farm dinners and value-added products. So there's all these different ways to bring everything together and really make a living and keep that land beautiful and prosperous.
Now, repeat the title again, Lisa, yeah. And tell us how we get copies.
Sure. The book title is Soil Sisters, A Toolkit for Women Farmers. The main website is soilsistersbook.com, but it's available wherever you can find books or directly from us. I also want to mention, too, Vicki, with my work with Moses in our women farmer training, we have a project called In Her Boots, Sustainable Agriculture for Women, by Women, and we do workshops throughout the summer on women-owned farms. We'll actually be hosting one of them at our farm this Friday, August 5th, to kick off the Soil Sisters weekend, and we'll be doing one in Minnesota, not too far from you, over in Nerdstrand, August 23rd. So if you go on the mosesorganic.org site, you can see the full lineup. But those are particularly designed for beginning women farmers to come out and experience another woman-owned farm for the day, ask questions, learn from others, and come away with even more ideas. So you're welcome to join us.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. And let's just again go over the event coming up and what we're going to see this coming weekend.
You bet. So Soil Sisters, soilsisterswi.org is our website. It goes from this Friday, August 5th to Sunday, August 7th. And on Saturday, we have a lot of on-farm workshops. So you could do, again, cheese making with the Annas from Landmark and a local wine and cheese pairing with Landmark Creamery and Hawksmill Winery. But there's a lot of other stuff as well, from fermentation to bread baking. So you unique on-farm experiences. You can check those out online. Saturday night is our dinner on the farm at Sandhill Family Farms in Broadhead. So that's a night to kick back, enjoy a beautiful local meal, some music, of course, Wisconsin beer. And Sunday is our big tour of farms. So from 11 to 6, there'll be 8 women-owned farms in the kind of the Monroe and Broadhead area, including ours in Serendipity. We'll be open for free tours. So come on by and come hungry, because a new thing this year is people are getting hungry on Sunday afternoon and rural areas get a little sleepy. So at our farm, we'll be hosting the Emmy Roth food truck, who will be giving out both cheese samples and cooking up pizzas in our outdoor wood-fired ovens. So come hungry for that. And then at Raleigh's Hillside Farm in Albany, and the farmer Lauren Wells there and her mom will be operating a good old Wisconsin food stand with everything from Euros to egg salad sandwiches to seasonal salads. So check those out as well.
Oh, well, listen, it's always fun to talk with you, Lisa and Anna, as well. It's been a great 45 minutes. I want to thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Lisa Kivaris runs, co-owns In Serendipity Farm. How could I forget that? In Serendipity Farm and B&B, completely powered by the wind and the sun. Anna Thomas Bates co-founded Landmark Creamery. It's an award-winning artisanal Wisconsin cheese operation. Great to have them along. And thank you so much for listening in today and joining in with the conversation. And please stay with us. There's lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.